Let's pray, and then we'll sing a few hymns. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day, and for life and health and strength, and for loving us and watching over us. And I pray your good hand upon us, Lord, as we gather together to sing your praises and to have this time in your presence. Please bless us, Lord, and please be one of our number. Please minister to each one of us, not just us, Lord, but to each one of our brethren, wherever they might be, those that have turned up and turned out, those, Lord, that love you and want to please you. I pray, Lord, that as you spend your time with us this morning, that you will work on our hearts and minds. You know what we need, Lord, and we pray this morning, but we pray most importantly for your will to be done. We love you and thank you. Amen. Yeah. We'll start with, have you got your keyboard turned on? We'll start with number 2 in the little black books. Then a request for this blessed old book. Sure, if it wasn't for it, we wouldn't be here. Hymn number 2, this blessed old book.
Yeah. is in the book of Psalms, Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thy envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth any righteousness as the light, and any judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, though thou shalt diligently consider his place, they shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bones shall be broken. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of any wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be at the fat lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. The wicked borrows and payeth not again, but the righteous shows mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. The Lord holdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil, and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not the saints. They are preserved forever, the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, that fed himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but I could not. Divine. Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together, the end of the wicked shall be cut off. The salvation of the righteous is of the Lord, he is their strength in time of trouble. The Lord shall help them and deliver them, he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Amen.
Psalm there, and not just because of verse number 37. It says, "Mark the perfect man." But there was a verse that was very instrumental for me whenever I was looking for a bit of guidance about the national lottery whenever it came out. And verse number 16, it says, "The little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked." And if there was ever a description of the national lottery, that's it. Some excellent verses there, well worth being familiar with Psalm 37. Many promises and helps, especially when you see devils out in the world doing well and good people doing badly. But anyway, thank you for that. Much appreciated. Just want to bring to your attention the little pink prayer list this morning. Please do make sure you get one. Please also, some things that are not on this, I would like to remind you of a sister-in-law of mine over in America has a tumour in her ear. That is, pardon?
I shouldn't have
any of this. Yeah, my wife is slagging. She has a tumour in her ear. She's had it for a while. It's really sucking the life out of her. She's maybe 60 now, isn't she?
She is.
Please do pray for her. 60 is not as old as you think, especially when you're only a couple of years old. And you know you're getting old when you'll be glad to be 60 again.
No.
Or 50. 50's not as old as you think when you're looking at it either. But anyway. Please do pray for Pat and Steve. They had their visit with Sam and Louise and they're away home. I haven't gotten to see them since. But please do pray for them. Monica's thanking the Lord for her improved health. Someone put up for Christian Fellowship, and Norman, he was thanking the Lord for work safety. I would just like to add to that thank you for all your prayers over the past week. I think I have been told I have mild pancreatitis, which is still, it's knocking me on my back and it's sucking the life out of me a bit at the moment, but I think I'm on the upward slope, so just please pray for me and bear with me over the next week or two whilst I get back on my feet. I think that's about that, isn't it? My dad is 90 today, and it was such a notable occasion that the Ulster Bank sent him a food hamper with biscuits and salsa. No, it was a different one. Biscuits, swanky chocolates and jams and honey and all sorts of little bits and pieces. And he nearly got as big a kick out of that as the party we had for him on Friday. So it must be notable when you get the 90s. Norman, stay with the Ulster Bank.
Yeah, I am.
In another 22 years, you'll be getting a food hamper delivered to your door as well.
Change the speed, don't
you? Amen. So, again, we were travelling yesterday. We had an interesting week. And I still maintain that Alfie Galvin Hospital is trying to kill me because that's the second time that they actually, my records slipped through the cracks and disappeared off the system whenever I was in the hospital. And I am joking about that. They're very, very good. So please do.
I disappeared
off the system. Anyway, I'm here today and planning to be here tomorrow and over the next few multiple days, weeks, months, and years, Lord willing. Thank you all for your prayers. Please do pray for Pat and Steve, for Colin and the McMahons, and don't forget Dr. Shine as well. We miss Frank too. Please do pray for him. I'm glad to have each one of you here. I think it'll be a good idea to maybe pick a weekend in between. Is it the 12th of August? There's bonfires or something on. Sometime between the 12th and the end of August, one of the Wednesdays in there, and we'll just put a mark in the calendar and we will arrange to have our rededication service. I was a bit reluctant to do it the past couple of weeks because I didn't know what was happening with me. So we'll aim for that. Please do pray about that as well. We have that on already, but I need to add that again. That's us. I think that's about that. Yes, Mrs. B?
Mom's in the same.
Yeah. Please pray for Monica's mom. She has a bit of a heart condition at the moment. Her heartbeat is going wonky. Please do pray for her. don't know what AFib stands for. If you want to know, I'm sure Lynn does. But please do pray for Marcus. Right. You okay to pray for us, Lord? Thank you. You go ahead, my
Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you this day, Lord. Mind you, find safety and security at your house today, Lord. You have known blessings to ahead and come to every episode to represent, Lord. Give us this day, Lord. May assurance place us on your side, Lord. May everything that we can to please you as we start a long new week, Lord. May it be with you and your son, Lord. With us and God, we thank the Lord for many people. Safe and well, Lord. Bring us to the walk today, Lord. And we also will stop trying to happen as well, Lord. With Colin, Lord, keep me safe and well, Lord. Draw a closer walk today. Keep me safe and well, Lord. As well, Lord, both in a bad state, Stephen, Carl, and John, Lord, and Lord, bring him to his saving grace and salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord, as well, Lord. With Pat and Steve, Lord, with Stephen's heart, Lord, and his any heart problems he has, Lord, we have him to keep him safe, Lord, and Lord, Lord, my appeal to go into discomfort, Lord, keep him safe and well, Lord, and also with Pat, give us some respite, and pray for him to keep us safe as well, Lord. Pray for our world, save people that were in the shame of Belfast yesterday, Lord, save their souls, bring them. Convict the Lord and make them aware of their mentality, Lord, and if there's respect before God, Lord, that's against God, and Lord, that you may we just start to convict them and save them from our souls, Lord. Also, Lord, stop abortion, Lord, stop those tracts, especially here, and revoke the abortion act both here in the UK and also in Ireland as well, Lord. Also, remember the disaster around the world, remember Kentucky floods, Lord, may help those that family that lost about 4 people in their family and children, Lord. You may use that to do something good, Lord. Save souls, save that family, Lord. And comfort them, and we have to keep them safe as well, Lord. And the other families that are grieved, Lord. The boys that have to really comfort as well, Lord. Go for our world, Lord. Give wisdom to our leaders that we may save them. Their wisdom truly is. And it's only from thee, Lord. And save souls mightily and powerfully, where they will. And Lord, may we rejoice in thy word, rejoice in thy power. And also give you your glory for your glorious. It's one thing we should always look for, Lord. We should always put you in front and may put you in front of in our lives as well, Lord. Put on earth, God, glory. We just press it again.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Please sit. Do please pray for the Netherlands. I don't know if you saw that. You see the news?
Mm-hmm.
The Netherlands is trying to institute child euthanasia between 1 and 12. So that literally means a child that has no legal, literally legal power or representation can be brought to a euthanasia centre by their parents willingly or unwillingly and can be executed, can be put to death. They already have euthanasia, I think, in place for 12 and for 13 or 14 and above, but they are wanting to actually be able to euthanize healthy children between 1 and 12. This is in the Netherlands. So please do pray for the countries and our leaders. We certainly need it. 412. 412. Onward, Christian soldiers. If you're able, let's stand as we stand.
Oh,
have a request for number 13 in the wee black books, if you'd like to take a turn there. Another old favourite, Guide Me, O Thou Great Gentleman. An excellent old friend. In number 13 in the black books, Guide Me, O Thou Great Gentleman. Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah chapter 6. Yeah. I hope you all had a much better week than I did, except for the cake you get eaten up on Friday night. That was good. Well, it's nice to be back. But it is for me, let's put it like that. I enjoy being back. It's good to see you. Reading the first 17 verses of Jeremiah chapter 6, and the Word of God says, O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth Hakkerem. For evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed every one in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, Hew ye down trees, and cast them out against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine, turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach, and they have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness, and from the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I sent watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Amen. Verse number 16 and even number 17, that's the verses that really sprung to mind whenever this message, whenever I was thinking on this. And I hope this is a help to you this morning, speaking about the old rule. The old rule. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the life and health and strength and freedom that we have to gather with you, to be in your presence, Lord, to spend time together around your word. Please bless this preaching and teaching of your word. Please, Lord, I pray, open our understanding. Work with each one of us. Cleanse us and refresh us. And not just us, Lord, but wherever your children are gathered together to preach and to teach the gospel to, Lord, we pray your good hand upon. You know what we need, Lord, and I pray that for all of your children in the world today, even in these dark, dark days. Bless us now, I pray, Lord, in our time around your word. Amen. The old roads, it's called the old paths, and I vaguely remember many, many years ago, the pastor at the time, he actually created a little church magazine called The Old Paths, and that went out for about a year. There you go, we're not talking about old church magazines, we're talking about this very important church book. Jeremiah 6 and 16, where the word of God said, Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. And we'll read 17. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. I know we have mentioned it many times, but the book of Jeremiah was written by a guy that really loved his country. And in all honesty, if we had a few of them about today, our country wouldn't be in the shape it's in today. In fact, if all of the countries had a few of those men about them, the world wouldn't be in the shape that it's in today. But Jeremiah loved his country. He was called the weeping prophet. He had a real heart. That's why the Lord Christ, and I think we mentioned him, not on Wednesday, but last Sunday, Christ was referred to when he asked his disciples, "Who do people think I am?" One of the replies was Jeremiah, because he loved his people, because he wept over people, because he felt for his people. He didn't let that govern his actions, but he felt for people. It fueled his actions. It didn't govern them. Like the difference between sitting on the back of a wild horse and holding on for dear life, or sitting on the back of a broken horse and directing it to where you want it to go. So here, the Lord is extolling the virtues of Israel. It says it's like a comely woman. A beautiful country. Even back then, if you went to Jerusalem, if you wanted to join yourself to the God of the Bible, you would have been welcome. Every soul that loved the Lord was welcome. And God blessed them in great victories. If we were reading way on back in Kings, amazing victories and great riches and peace on every side. However, as is always the case, because of her sin, because of the fact that she turned from following God, and goodness, it could be writing this about any country today. God said that he was going to allow judgment to fall upon. Invaders were going to come up against her and beat her into the ground. But even as he said this, even as he described the wickedness that was going on in that country, he said it was like the waters pushed out of a fountain. And I want for you to know the only job of a fountain is to throw water out of it. And that is the way that God saw that the very country that he blessed and prospered and raised up and protected and governed, that's how he saw them. It seemed to God that Israel's whole reason for being was just to indulge in sin. That's how bad it had gotten. So he said, this is what's going to happen. Judgment's going to come. They're going to beat you into the ground. It talks even about the gleaners and the grape gatherers. There's not going to be anything left if you don't smarten yourselves up. Even during this, he said, bear in mind, I have spoken to you. I have told you, you need to go back to doing things the way we used to do them. Go back to the old paths. What does it say? Stand in the way, the old ways. Do things the old ways. Ask for the old paths. In other words, talk to God about them. Because that's what's good for us. It actually says that where is the good way? And walk there and make a point of guiding your lives by the things that I have written in my word. And he said the same thing pretty much in verse number 17. He's talking about his prophets blowing trumpets. He used to call it the warning trumpet. It's a different slice of the same potato. It's still the same potato. He's giving it from a different direction. He says, I have sent people to warn you. I have called men to go out and warn you, to inform you of sin and judgment to come. I want for you to notice what God says. It says, and this is God, knowing the hearts of men, he said, you've said to me, we don't want to. We just don't want to do that. We will not hearken. We do not want to listen to what God says. And if there was ever a time in the whole history of man that has applied to not just one little country or one little state, Israel or Jerusalem, it's today where it applies in every hand. In fact, Psalm 2 is probably one of the greatest descriptions of this day, where the Bible says the kings gather themselves and shake God's bands and cords off and say, we're just going to do whatever we want. Why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine stupid things, vain things? We live in these days. But it's not a one-and-done thing with us if we don't learn from the stupid things that we do. What's the old saying? We're going to repeat them, and we're going to repeat them, and we're going to repeat them. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and hoping the outcome changes. We spoke about that a while back too. I honestly don't know what goes through people's heads except from what God says. But I have an idea that the children of Israel thought, well, we just kick the behinds of all of those people. We'll kill them by droves. And look at them, they're out drinking and partying and they're laughing. And they're wearing all their nice clothes, their scanty clothes, and they're jumping into bed with each other and they're doing drugs. They don't seem to care. This great disaster that has befallen the people whose land we have possessed, they're having a wild old time. We should be just like them. And that's what happened. Despite God's many warnings, don't be like the people of the land that I am destroying so you can have it. Right? I am destroying these people because they hate me, because they worship false gods, because they kill their little children. What is going to be the shape of the Netherlands when God comes back? We want to kill our little children. I know there's many a mother and father has threatened to wring the necks of their children for their bad behaviour, but they've never actually gone out and done it. And never was it the law of the land. We've got plenty of company, they said. And the more of us that does it, the less of us that there are to remind us that it's wrong. That's how easy it is for a person to fall. Whenever you're on your own out there in the world, and you're saved, and you've read your Bible, and you've said your prayers, and you've spent time in God's presence, and you're whistling a hymn as you go, whenever you go out into the world, you're surrounded by lost people. Who seem to make it sound great to go out drinking, who seem to make it sound great to take drugs, to smoke, to curse and to swear, who seem to make it sound great to sleep around, to commit all manner of immorality. And as long as you don't say anything, you'll be grand. In fact, there's a great pressure on you not to say anything. The thing about it is, lights are designed to shine. And in the words of the little children's song, this little light of mine, I'm going to make it shine, is what we need to be doing. Anyway, the situation or the incident that really brought this message to mind and formed it, and then I had to go and write it out, of course, was my journey back to Derry from Dungiven. Has anybody been on the road from Derry to Dungiven? Well, you're the expert. As Will knows, you're now on the dual carriageway pretty much the whole way between, well, Drumahoe, really, and Dungiven. And the road looks lovely. It really does. As we were coming from Dungiven back to Drumahoe, we were on a piece of the road, and I saw something moving out of the corner of my eye. Saw this white thing flash through the trees up high. And I looked up, and there I saw a pickup truck and a couple of vehicles behind it zip along past me. Way up high, and I thought, hey, that's that road. I remember the last time we were up here, we were looking down on the dual carriageway when they were still working on it. And I thought, cool. Old road, new road. As we were driving along, honestly, we were only allowed to do 40 miles an hour on a 70 mile an hour stretch of road because the place is covered in cones and it's not half done right. But I want to give you a few things that I noticed. I noticed the gutters, the rain, the water disposal. Have you noticed that? It sits on a huge big drain. It must be about that width, but it's quite shallow. And there's a nice camber on the road, so you'll not have any puddles lying on the road. If it ever starts to rain heavily, it'll all run off. And the road's really smooth. It's not the old road that's been re-tarmacked and has had bits cut out across the middle to lay a gas line or a water line or anything like that. Or if you ever see roads or places that big lorries turn, they actually tear up the tarmac There's none of that on this new road. It's extra wide, there's two lanes instead of one. And there's a beautiful central reservation going up the middle. I call it the cheese wire. You ever seen them? Put metal posts down and they have these four strands of, like, it must be inch thick wire. And if you ever hit that doing 70 miles an hour, you will find out why it's called the cheese wire. You will go straight through it and your car or motorbike will be cut to pieces, and most likely you will be too. Hope that doesn't happen. It's supposed to stop people from going through, but I've heard of a few motorcyclists that went, hit the barrier and went through it onto the other side, minus limbs. Brilliant view, because there's no trees have grown up around about it, and it's much straighter. It's just, and it has that thing that all new stuff has. It has that new room, that new car smell, that new road smell. It just feels new, and it's newfangled, and it's cool. But whenever I thought on that old road, and saw the car zipping past me at 60 miles an hour, I just got to thinking about, yes, there was a few potholes, there was a few places where water lay, but the road was well known. It had served well for, how many years is that road there? It's decades. It's been there as long as I've been there, or coming today, so it's at least, what, 35 years old, and the rest, decades. And everybody that travelled that road for any length of time knew every bend and twist and hill and dip in the road. You knew where you were, you knew how much time you had to go till the next bit. You knew it. It was familiar. Now, I'm not saying that old roads are better than new roads. We've travelled those roads. We know what it's like to be stuck on them behind a tractor when there's a lot of traffic coming the other direction. But we're talking about, obviously, the old paths and the new paths. That instance in the Netherlands is just, it just beggars belief that there are people that wicked that are allowed to hold the reins of government. The new paths are all the laws and behaviours, of course, that are praised and emulated and even protected. But that are actually bad for you. Not just now, but in the end, the ages of eternity. They're so bad for you, they can put you in hell. And it's not them that put you in hell, it's people loving them more than they love the Lord that puts them in hell. Things like the way people dress, the way people drink and think nothing of it, the way people smoke and think. Does anyone remember when they were little behind the bike sheds? You'd have the bad boys in the school. Norman's laughing. Were you one of those bad boys? You'd have the bad boys and the bad girls would be out for a wee token on the cigarettes at break time. They think they were cool. They'd come in smelling like an ashtray. Smoking's bad for you. The way this world thinks that casual physical relationships are cool, they're bad for you. Bad for you physically, bad for you mentally, bad for you spiritually. And all of these things lead to broken homes and unwed mothers. They lead to drug taking. They lead to people thinking that their feelings are far more important than laws. There's rebellion everywhere. Parents are cast aside. And there's no self, there's no pride. People don't have any pride in themselves. They have no aspirations other than a feed of drink on a Friday night or a Saturday night and waking up on a stranger's bed. They become greedy and self-centered. As the Bible says, there's no natural love or affection. You wouldn't stop and help somebody. That includes parents and grandparents, family and their fellow man. If you were to go back in time, maybe 40 years, a generation, it would have been a very, very last resort that a family member would ever have had to have been admitted to arrest him. Last ditch. But now, it's almost as soon as parents or grandparents start to become a burden, that the children file them out the door just to get them out of the way and put them in a home. I want to tell you something, friends. Old folks' homes are not a place you want to be if you can possibly avoid it. Home is where the heart is. You end up with a country that becomes run by hateful anti-Christian bodies. Our very government hates Christians. Do we not have Boris Johnson, our much esteemed ex-Prime Minister, saying how what a sad day it was when Roe v. Wade was overturned? A blinking murderer was our Prime Minister. And how many others? What about down south? My goodness. Schools are the same. They're literally teaching children to be homosexuals and lesbians. They are trying to convince boys that they're girls and girls that they're boys. My goodness. And all the while, children, our parents act like children and the children tell the parents what to do. Even our hospitals, our security forces. There's a lady that sometimes I would watch on YouTube. Monica knows about her. Rosie, something, I can't remember her name. She would be for women, for protecting women. She's always made up, short, white, bleached blonde hair. She's very pro-women, and I don't mean a feminist, I mean pro-women. And what was this that she was talking about? Oh yeah, two policemen turned up at her door in England because she gave off about pedophiles. So they were coming to protect the feelings of a pedophile. Because someone on YouTube in the UK had spoken out against pedophiles. That's the police in the UK for you. Remember that. But do you know what sort of people it produces? It produces weak and watery people. People that you wouldn't be able to trust or depend upon. It produces compromised, traitorous creatures in the pulpits who will not speak about this, who refuse to tell people that they need to get saved, that feeling good is far more important. And they all cry that this is a much better road. This is a much better road. And we feel much better about it. Like I said, can you imagine? Could you imagine taking your child, because it became too much for you, this new baby, this new child that you had. And I understand that sometimes after having a baby, that women's hormones are all over the place. Can you imagine a mother having a bad day, fed up to the back teeth with a child that has the colic, or has the runs, and it won't stop crying, and it won't stop dirtying everywhere, just saying, oh, I've had enough, I'm taking this child down to the euthanasia centre, only it'll not be called the euthanasia centre, or a kill bubble, or a kills, it'll not be called that. It'll be called a rest home for children. And they give it a little bit of injection, or they put it in a pod and fill it with carbon monoxide, and it just drifts off to sleep. And they go home so relieved. Can you imagine that being the normal? Because it's coming. These lost souls are endlessly looking for something to give their life meaning, purpose. And all the time, not only do they ignore the one thing that will help them out, they actually actively legislate against it. And do you know what, friends? It shows. We are living through the age where godless men and women are running so-called Christian countries, and it shows. That's the new path. And everybody says, oh, it's wonderful. And they go to a lot of work to make sure that you know it's wonderful, even to the point of having you arrested if you disagree with it. It's wonderful, and we will have you arrested if you don't agree with us. These are the new paths. The old ways, they're as old as mankind. The old ways had man and woman walking and talking with God. That was the first Christian activity mentioned in the Bible, walking and talking with God. The old ways had people, even they weren't Christians, having a knowledge of the Bible, what was right and what was wrong. Understanding that God was a vengeful God to those that hated him, to those that rejected him, and a loving God to those that loved him and accepted him. And that kept most people right. That kept even the worst of children in after 7 o'clock at night and in their beds with their supper. And it kept the drunks to a minimum, the whores to a minimum, the drug takers to a minimum. And it made sure there weren't all these laws that allowed you to do literally whatever you like and walk away from them. I think there was a politician attacked in America. The man went at him with a knife or a gun or something, assaulted him. And he was stopped, brought to the police station, and let go. This is the world that we're coming to. The old ways of the preaching of the cross. And do you know what the preaching of the cross is? You must be born again. God loves you. His Son died for you on the cross of Calvary. So that you can have eternal life when you repent of your sins and trust in Christ as your Savior. That's when you can have eternal life. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm not going to ask you for the change in your pocket or the paper in your wallet. I'm just asking for your repentance, God says. Turn away from your sins and turn to me. That is the start of the preaching of the cross. Of course, the word of God warns us of judgment, just like God did in Jeremiah 6. But he also tells us of a free, forever, and sure salvation. This is the foundation stone of your Christian life. And it goes on. Basically, there's two messages in the Bible. You get right with God, and you stay right with God. That's what it's about. And that staying right is living your life in a way that pleases God. Admitting your mistakes. Do wrong recently? I'm not telling you that I'm waiting for you. I'm sitting here with a smart smirk on my face, waiting for you to come up and tell me, oh, Mark, you were so right, and I was so wrong. I'm telling you that each one of us, none of us, in fact, is in a position where we're doing everything right and pleasing God. And the person that loves you most in this world, God Almighty, is just waiting for you to say, you know what, God, I've done it my way for so long, it's doing my head, and I'm going to try it your way, would you please help me? I'm sorry for being an Egypt, or would you please help me? You know what God would say? Come on. He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll never be done with you. And even if you do act a maggot, I'll bring you home. You'll get an early bath, and you'll come home to save people. But as a saved soul, make a point of admitting your mistakes to God, just in prayer. I am not going to say, I'm not going to open that door and walk in there and expect you to walk in that door and tell me all your secrets. That's not me. I have enough trouble with my own secrets to God. It's between you and God, not between you and the priest. Not between you and your father confessor. Admit your mistakes to God first. And if you have to admit them to men after, he'll give you the strength to do it. And the old ways are be faithful in church. Get to church. I used to think being in church for 1 hour a week was like getting your teeth pulled without any Novocaine. Honestly. It was grinding my teeth the whole way through church. I loved the song because I was a really good singer. But church was such a chore. And having to go to Sunday school, my goodness. And I found out a while back there that my old Sunday school teacher and then Sunday school superintendent wasn't even a saved man. doesn't even believe that they need to be saved. Well, neither did the ministers, so that's neither here nor there. Be faithful in church. The Lord said, I want to ask us a question, and the folks that will be listening in. Has the world gotten to be a better place? Even since yesterday. That thing with the Netherlands, just, goodness, it disappoints me. It doesn't depress me. It girds me. It makes me gird myself. It makes me grit my teeth and resolve to do a bit better. When you hear stuff like that, my goodness, be faithful. Make a point of when the world tries to erase your Christianity, that you re-establish your Christianity. Make a point of being a Christian. I know some of you can't sing. God never said, make a tuneful noise. He said, make a joyful noise. Praise me. It's good for you. It doesn't make God any more powerful. It makes us more powerful. If you're not afraid to sing out in the church of God, it helps you not be afraid to speak out when you're outside of the house of God. Don't be afraid to talk to each other, because it's in talking with each other, with each of you, that I learn about the things that you need prayer for. And I pray for them. So fellowship. And tithing. See that thing at the front there? There's money in it. Unless someone has a recipe for turning fresh air and tap water into meatloaf and chicken, we need money to keep the church going. That's just the long and short of it. But more than that, whenever you trust God with that tenth, that's what a tithe is, of your money, He will help you make the rest of your money not just go as far, but go farther. There's a few instances in the Bible where God has said about people robbing Him in tithes. He says, look, bring tithes into my building and I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that your storehouses will not be able to contain. I'm paraphrasing a little bit there. Tithe. We need the tithe. I remember a discussion between communists and a Christian many years ago. It was noted in a newspaper, and the communist said to Christianity, to the Christian, he said, Christianity will fail. And the Christian said, how is that? Because Christianity is so much better than communism. And the communist said, because every good communist puts every waking hour and spare penny to the cause, whereas the Christian doesn't. Don't be afraid to give. Stay away from bad places. Pubs and nightclubs. Being out gallivanting after 11 or 12 o'clock at night. Nothing good ever happens in a stranger's house after midnight. Nothing good. And make sure the things that you hear and hear don't stop whenever you walk out that door. If there's something that you hear in this church hall or read in the Bible and it jumps out at you, first thing you do is get a highlighter, draw a line underneath it. Second thing you do is make a wee note of it and commit it to your memory, because God was drawing your attention to that little portion of God's word. And do you see when you have that in your heart and mind? Anybody any idea how many commandments there are in the Bible? There's about 616, give or take. There's nearly enough for two different commandments for every day of the year. I am sure we'd be hard pressed to name maybe 20 or 30. We might get all 10 of the 10 commandments. But the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy is full of God's laws. Things that God expects his people, well, the Jewish people, to follow. I couldn't remember them all. But being a Christian, God gave me the Holy Spirit. And guess what he does? He reminds me of them when I need them. So I don't go walking around with all of God's laws rolling about in my head. Most of the time I'm walking about in a daze. If I ever walk past you and don't say your name, it's because I'm walking about in the days. I'm thinking about where I've come from, and I'm thinking about where I'm going to, and I'm not saying anything in between. But if something does happen, God reminds me he's faithful. He said he'd bring all things to my remembrance, and he's done it over and over and over again. So apply what God teaches you to your life. And it's not going to be popular, but guess what? It's going to be right. And in the endless ages of eternity, we're not going to be with all the cool kids and with all the people that did what's popular. They're going to be standing at the great white throne of judgment. You're going to be with God. That's what's important. And don't be afraid to give God the glory. Thank you, God, for that. There was a while there, especially when pancreatitis was mentioned, I thought, oops. I think I've been taking you a bit for granted, God. Thank you for the reminder. And I have thanked the Lord just about every morning since I got out of hospital for a new day. And I still do. We need to thank God for all that he's done for us, because if God parted the foil for us whenever we needed to go over to the city side from here, every day, and all we had to do was over the side of the quay, and it was as dry as a bone, and we could walk over, and he did that every day for us, and we never thanked him, we would start to take it for granted, and we would start to take God for granted. If every day we were able to walk into the morgue and bring back those souls that had passed into eternity and give them another chance at life with their loved ones and never thanked God and did it every day, we would soon start to take that for granted. No matter what it is that God does for you, small or great, thank him. You have no idea the number of things that can go wrong in the human body that when you close your eyes to go to your bed at night could feel. And you could be opening your eyes in eternity, the eternity that you have chosen. Whether it be hell and the lake of fire, or whether it be heaven, you have no idea of the number of things that can go wrong. So thank God for allowing you to open your eyes in this world. Give him the glory. Treat people the way God says you need to treat them. You know what? There's so much stuff. I wish someone would put it in the book. That blessed old book, perhaps. He has. He's given you a life to study it, eyes to see it, ears to hear it, and a mouth to speak it, and a body to practice it with. And you know what the old paths produce? They produce people with a bit of grit. They produce people with a bit of iron in their blood. Steel in their spines. A bit of pride in themselves and their accomplishments. Because God's word is the very power of God unto salvation. That's what God said his word is. It will fire you up, it will reinforce you, it will protect you, it will comfort you. When things start to go wrong, God says, yes, this is life, but I am here to see you through it. Why don't you practice being happy as you read my word? So that whenever difficult times come when you read my word, guess what? You'll be happy. I'm going to give you a wee example here. I know it's maybe a bit off the beam, but what age do kids do GCSEs at? Well, 16? 15 and 16. When I was 15, I was a year young. I would stay up all evening and I would be writing out my notes from memory. And then I would go to bed and I would still be thinking of all the things that I had written out. And I would be getting up and thinking, I don't remember that right. I would be getting up and reading the book again to try and put it right in my head. And I did this for a few nights in the week, and then I thought, you know what? I need sheep to count. I need to do something else other than thinking about what I was doing. So I just started thinking about other things. Comic or film, counting sheep, contemplating. I wasn't saved at the time. And before long, I found out that whenever I woke up in the morning, I remembered the things that I had written out okay. Because I thought of something else. And then I, as I went to university, They want to give people injections. I've never been a big fan of needles, which is quite funny because it helped me quite a lot over the past couple of years. And they gave me a relaxation tape and they said, don't listen to this whenever you're going to bed. But my goodness, I was 18 years old. There is so much to do between getting up in the morning and going to bed at night. That was the only time I had. And so I learned to relax and breathe deeply. It helps you to relax. And I never saw the end of that tape. I was out for the count in 15 minutes. And from continuing on with those things, I have found that in good times, I can be asleep in maybe 5 minutes. I'll be gone. Out for the count. And that has gone on for so many years that whenever I have hard times, I can still be out for the count in 5 or 10 minutes, whether it's physical, whether it's mental. I can be out for the count in 5 or 10 minutes. It is a very, very, it is blue moon material the nights that I cannot sleep. And it's the same with reading the scriptures. It's the same with being a Christian. If we read the Bible in the good days and thank the Lord for it and take our wee highlighters and just say, hey, that's a cool verse. Thank you, Lord, for that. And even take a moment to commit one of them to memory. In the good days, whenever it comes to the bad days, those same verses and those same scriptures as you read them again will blunt the attack of the world, the flesh, and the devil as it tries to ruin your day and even your life. God knows for all of the nonsense that is pumped into our ears and eyes at every turn. The blasphemy, the profanity, the Satanism, the immorality. He knows we need this stuff in our hearts and minds, not that other stuff. Because all of the new paths not doing people any favours. But the old paths, those old roads, the ones that have seen men and women, boys and girls, live well and properly for generations, those are the ones we need today. The old, faithful, reliable, helpful, comforting paths that God has provided in His Word, that is what we need. So whenever it's time, we can stand up sure and certain that we're saying the right thing, doing the right thing, flying the flag for Christ, pointing souls to the foot of the cross, and whatever comes our way, we know we've done the right thing. And that, friends, is worth all the money and all the keep fit and all the alcohol and all the drugs and all the thrills and all the pleasures the world can throw at you. The old paths are the best paths. Stick to them. Thank you. And God bless you. Take our big hymn books again, if you would, and we'll have, let me see, 372, a favourite of mine. Hope you enjoy it this morning. Let the lower lights be burning, and if you're able, we'll stand as we sing.
Bye.
your good time and attention. If you'd like to bow your heads and close your eyes, we'll be dismissed with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this little bit of time out in a crazy world. And I pray you, Lord, that you would walk with us as we go home. If you would just speak gently to us, Lord, comfort and protect us as we go. And Lord, that you would save souls. Pray you too for the up and coming Gay Pride event at the end of August. And for the souls, Lord, that need to be saved there. We love you and praise you. We thank you for loving us, Lord, for your Son, Christ Jesus, for your word, and for the Holy Spirit, and for Bethel. And we ask all these things, as well as our private prayer requests, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands, fellowship, and more. Love all that.